Happy New Year, everyone. We're so glad that you're joining us here today for this broadcast. And I'm sure that you, like so many other people, have probably pondered this past year. Maybe you've thought about some things that you did well in. Maybe you thought about some things that you didn't do so good in. And like most people, whether you will state it outright or not, you have probably set some sort of New Year's resolutions for yourself. And I hope and trust and pray that you have, particularly when it comes down to your spiritual well-being. So today we're going to take a look at some passages of Scripture that come out of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So if you don't have it, go grab your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll be back with you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I hope you're doing great. I hope that your new year is off and rolling to a very, very good start. And I hope and trust and pray that you have decided that this year is going to be a different year when it comes down to your spiritual walk and your spiritual life. I've said so many times that there's always room for improvement when it comes to our walk with the Lord. And I know that at this time of the year, a lot of times folks will look back over the past year, and you'll see the successes, you'll see the failures, and you'll want something new. Now, as we look at God's Word today, and as we head into this new year, the new year represents a fresh beginning, you know, a time for reevaluating priorities and making some of those resolutions. You know, from a biblical perspective, you know, the concept of renewal is deeply ingrained in those of us who trust the Lord. You know, and it's also seen in many, many of the biblical narratives that we read about in God's Word. So let's look today over in God's Word. I mentioned just a little while ago, we're looking at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And really specifically, I want to hit on verse 17. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful that you have given us a new year. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunity to please you better as we head into this new year. Lord, I pray that you will convict our hearts, that you will show us what we need to do, that we might be everything that you want us to be, not just for ourselves, Lord, but everything that you want us to be. Father, you've given us the tools by which to do that. May we learn and grow closer to you each and every day as we get into your word and as we seek you in prayer. Lord, I pray right now that you would just bless the time that we will spend today in your word. Bless and strengthen each and every one of us as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know, when we look at that particular passage, and, you know, you've probably heard that a lot before. So, but when you think about that, as we read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, what does it say about being a new creation? It says, "Therefore, if anyone," that's anyone, "is in Christ," you know, there's a new creation that has come about. The old things are gone, and the new things are here. I know that in many people's lives, that's a blessing to be able to hear. I know that even as we look back over our past, even those of us who are followers of the Lord, we can look at places where we have failed. There are times that Satan likes to just drag us down with guilt. And yeah, he wants us to sit back and say, "Well, you know, with what you've done, how is it that God could forgive you? How is it that he could love you?" And too many times we buy into that. Folks, I'm specifically here today to let you know that when you carry something to God in repentance, and we remember what repentance is. Repentance means we have turned around. Repentance is saying, "I'm going down this road. I've done some things wrong, and I never want to do them again." It's a complete 180-degree turnaround. And by the grace of God, you continue to try not to be on that willful path of sin ever again. And that doesn't mean that we don't mess up. Sometimes we do. But what is our heart when it comes down to that? But we also have to realize that as we have repented and as we have carried it to the Father, he gives us a promise. He says that he will take that sin and throw it as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. So if the Lord's not holding it against you, then you should certainly not hold it against yourself. And Satan loves to get in our heads, particularly when it comes down to guilt. But when we look at this particular verse that's our text today, this verse speaks about transformation through Christ. You know, when one is in Christ, a complete renewal takes place. One of the best things that I've ever said is this, is that when Christ is in you, he kind of takes over. That's the best way to say it. Christ in you creates a change in you. Now, being in Christ means accepting him as your Savior and as your Lord. And then this new identity in Christ signifies a fresh new start and a departure from the past sins and past mistakes. You know, it's very interesting to be able to see evidence of that in the hearts and lives of people. I know that there have been times that I've had an opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord, and then a little bit later on in their walk, they'll, you know, maybe stop by my office or we'll have lunch or a cup of coffee or something. They'll say, you know what, I got a question for you, Pastor. They'll say, you know, all my life I would do these things, and yet now all of a sudden I don't really want to do them anymore, or I feel bad about the things that I'm doing. And I just giggle at that point, because I said, well, you know what that is? That's evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's evidence of the conviction of the Holy Spirit with you doing things that aren't pleasing to God or things that are contrary to His Word. Because you know, when these people or anybody, according to the Word of God, who trust the Lord, when you're in Christ, you are a new creation. And I love what it says, all things are passed away, old things are passed away, and all things have become new. Now, you know, as believers, when we start this new year, you know, we should remember that our identity is in Christ. Our identity is not in ourselves. It is not in our job. It is not in our family. It is not in our bank book. It's not in all these other peripheral things that the earth or society says makes you who you are. As believers, and as we enter into this new year, Christ should be the one that is our identity. You know, so are there past habits or sins that are hindering your walk with God? Now, I've said this, and the Word of God tells us this, that, you know, once you've become a believer, you are always a believer. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't break fellowship with the Father. I like to say it like this. That doesn't mean that you can't be put in a time out, and the Lord sits back and says, look, you got some things that we need to get worked out. Your attitude needs to change. These sins that are in your heart may need to change. So you don't lose your salvation, but you can certainly break fellowship with the Father. So are there some things in your life, you know, some past habits or sins that are hindering your walk with God as you enter into 2025? Well, if there are, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. He's speaking to you now, and you need to identify those things. Yeah, and you need to consciously commit to walking in your new identity. I like to use the word purpose. We need to purpose to be a better Christian. We need to purpose to get in the Word of God. We need to purpose to spend more time in prayer. That means that we've got a way by which to do that. We're going to sit there and we're going to do it on purpose. Now, you know, when we sit there and think about these things, you know, there's also another passage that comes to my heart is Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And what that does, that encourages us to approach our past failures and our future goals. And it says this, it says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining or pressing toward what lies ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, you may have learned that in a different translation. It says, I press for the mark of the high calling. In other words, it says, forget the things that are behind you. You cannot change the past. I know that you've probably heard this before, but yet it's still something that Satan is trying to just pound you with about guilt of maybe some things that you did in the past, whether it was this past year, or maybe it's been over the past decade, whichever one it may be. And Satan is still trying to bring you down with those. And what is it that God's Word says in those passages? And if you can't remember them, I would say that this would be one for you to write down, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. You have got to forget the things that are behind you. You cannot change the past, but all you can do is press towards the things that are yet ahead of you. Now, Paul acknowledges past struggles in that particular Philippians passage that we talked about. He acknowledges the past struggles, but he emphasizes the importance of looking forward rather than dwelling on our past failures. And too often that's what people do. They will sit back and say, well, I just messed up completely in the past and I can't do anything in the future. And like I've mentioned multiple times, even through this Bible study, Satan loves to hammer you on that. Folks, God's not done with you yet. When God forgives you, there is still hope for you. You know, I often think about, you know, Peter's denial. When we generally talk about the crucifixion, we get around Easter and we think about the time where we know that Peter denied Christ three times before the rooster crowed. And man, it just broke his heart. When he heard that rooster crow, he knew exactly the fulfillment of what Jesus had told him was going to take place and was going to happen. And he went out and he wept. And I believe with all my heart that he didn't feel like he was any longer a part of the apostles anymore. He felt like he had just betrayed Christ to the point that there was just no hope for him. And let me give you a little bit of evidence as to why I believe that. Because if you fast forward a little bit to the resurrection, and when Mary saw Jesus and Jesus told her, said, go back and tell my disciples. He said, go tell my disciples. And then he added this, and Peter. Now, why would you think that and Peter would have to be added on to that? Well, first of all, because Peter felt like he was no longer part of the crew. And you know, there are others. The other disciples probably felt like Peter didn't deserve to be part of the crew because of what he had done as well. But Jesus pointedly said to Mary, you go tell the disciples and Peter of what's going to be taking place. And isn't that great? So maybe today, maybe as you head into this new year, maybe you're sitting back and Satan's trying to just drag you down and you feel like you don't even deserve yet another chance. Let me tell you that Jesus is calling you by name and he is including you in the plans that he has for this upcoming year. That should make each and every one of us feel so special. So now, just like Paul, like I mentioned a moment ago in our passages, Paul acknowledges the past struggles that he had, but he is emphasizing the importance of looking forward rather than looking over his shoulder, rather than dwelling on the past failures, okay? See, your future in Christ is not determined by your past mistakes. Now, I'm going to say that again because I want to emphasize that and I want you to understand that. Your future, that's what's ahead of you. Your future in Christ is not determined by your past mistakes. Every one of us makes mistakes. Now, that's not for us just to simply say, oh, well, all of us make mistakes, so I'm going to keep on making them, and that's okay. No, we should strive to please the Lord. We should strive to walk in his will and walk in his ways. And it should, you know, catch our heart and catch our mind when we make mistakes, but we cannot allow those things to hold us down. You see, as Paul encourages, we should be focused on our future with God. We should be focused on pushing forward towards spiritual maturity and the calling that God has for each and every one of us. Folks, if you are still alive and you are still breathing, God is not finished with you yet. He still has plans for you. He still has things that you need to accomplish along the way for his honor, for his glory, and for his purpose. So I want you to do something for just a moment. And you've probably already done this by this particular point in time, but I want you to reflect over the past year. You've probably, if you listen to music on the radio, you've probably heard a lot of past, maybe countdowns of years past, maybe even the year 2024. They did a countdown to get to the number one song of the year. Or you'll always see these things that are like, the year in review with what's taken place over the past year. So I want you for just a moment to reflect over this past year on your life, okay? Now, I want you to think about it. What goals or what dreams that aligned with God were there that are left unattended? What are the things that you had big hopes for, maybe entering into the last year of or maybe the year of 2024, and you said, this is going to be the year there's going to be changes in these particular areas. And maybe you even made some promises along the way, but then now you're sitting back, you're looking back over that past year, and there were things that were left undone. There were things that were left unattended, okay? Well, think about it this way. As you enter into this new year, you need to set some realistic, God-honoring goals and actively work toward them. Remember, I used that term a little while ago, purpose to do these things. You know what? You can set all the goals and everything in your life. You can write them down on paper. You can leave them laying around on a desk. You can even post them. But unless you take some activity steps towards seeing those things through, they never happen. You know, I'll often like to sit back and say, how many times have we said to somebody, said, oh, you know what? It's been a long time since we've had a chance to get together. We need to do this more often. Well, how many times has the other person said, yes, we do? And then you guys walk away and you're right back where you started before. You know, one of the things I love is that there's some people in my life that will sit back and say, you know what, we need to get together a little bit more often and catch up and get to share with each other. And I love the person that says, that sounds great. Get your calendar out. Let's go ahead and put a date in there. Let's go ahead and make a lunch date where we can sit back and just get together and share a little bit more. See, that is purposing to make something happen. So as you enter this year, 2025, if you particularly see some of those goals and dreams that you had aligned with God that were left undone and left unattended, maybe they need your attention in this year, but set some goals. And I also got to be careful to say this. Make sure that they are realistic goals. I'm not saying set the bar low. By all means, I'm saying you need to set the bar. You need to set the bar high, but you don't need to set it so high that the goals are unattainable. Remember, the goals that you set need to be God-honoring goals. And then once you set those goals, you need to actively pursue them. You need to purpose to work toward them. I love what Hope Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 offers us about a new beginning. And basically what it says is this. It says, because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Man, I love that. You see, God's compassion. You know what compassion is? You know, when he has compassion on somebody. Sometimes in your life, there are times you have compassion on somebody or something. You know, one of the things I see most often is that people will have a compassion on a hurt or a dying animal or maybe a pet. But there's compassion, and there's compassion towards people as well. But God's compassions and his mercies. Remember what mercy is. Mercy is us not receiving what we should get. But his compassion and his mercies are described as unfailing and renewed every day. Don't you like that? You're not going to wear it out. You know, God's compassion and his mercy for you isn't just going to end at the end of the day, because the word tells us that they're unfailing and they are renewed every day. So when you wake up, you know, in the morning, at least take the time, if you don't already do so, to say, Lord, you know what? I just want to thank you that you woke me up this morning. Yeah, you know, Lord, I want to thank you that I've got a warm bed to sleep in. Lord, I want to thank you that I've got a roof over my head and that there's food on the table. And Lord, that I have loved ones that are around me that love me and that care for me. There's so much that we could be thankful for. And then we set forth when our feet hit the floor to say, Lord, you've got a plan and a purpose for me today. Help me to be biblically wise enough. Help me be so in tune to you that I see what it is that you want me to see, and that I do what you want me to do for your honor and for your glory, not just for mine, okay? So no matter what challenge or challenges that we have faced, or no matter what failures that we have experienced in our lives, each day presents a new opportunity to rely on God's mercy and on God's faithfulness. You know, this truth brings hope and it brings assurance for a new start. Maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe that you look back and maybe 2024 was just a complete nightmare. Now, I know that each and every one of us had our own challenges and struggles in the year 2024. I know 2024 was a tough year for me, at every rate. You know, at the end of 23 and heading into 2024, life changed on a whole lot of levels, and it's been tough. But you know what? Relying on God gives us a new start as we go forward. Remember that his compassions and his mercies and his faithfulness are new to us each and every day. So you know what we need to do, or one thing that we can do, is that we can begin each day, particularly of this new year, with thankfulness and recognizing God's compassion and recognizing God's faithfulness in our lives, and talk to him. Yeah, and just tell him, say, Lord, look, I thank you for your compassions that you bestow upon me. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness that you have provided in my life. You know, now how might this mindset change your perspective on daily struggles or challenges that you have? You know, I hope and pray. I've asked that question to somebody before, and they actually said, well, you know, one of the big things is that when it comes down to those daily struggles or challenges, one of the biggest things is knowing that I'm not in them alone, that God is right there with me in the midst of them. And as you acknowledge that, that is so true. God is right there. He's wanting to take care of you. He's wanting to deal with that circumstance or situation in your life. He's not wanting you to go through life worried every day about what's going to take place. He says that he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So let's talk about for just a second the biblical truth that we can find in our scripture text for today. Okay, in Christ, every day and every year is an opportunity for a fresh start. Did you hear that? Now, as you're struggling, and I know some of you are going to be, as you watch this, there are going to be some things that you're struggling with about failures from the past and what's it going to look like as you go forward. But just remember this, and I want you to get this if you don't get anything else. In Christ, every day, did you get that? Every day and every year is an opportunity for a fresh start. When you wake up in the morning, it's a fresh start. It can be if you view it that way, because the Word gives us that promise. You see, new beginnings are possible because of the Lord's transforming power, our focus on His future promises, and His daily renewed mercies in each and every one of our lives. So we can take those truths, we can count on them. As the old boy says, we can take those to the bank and claim them as true. So how do we put all this into perspective? You know, I've said before, it's not good enough just to have head knowledge. It means that once we learn some biblical truths, we need to make application to those. We need to have some action steps, okay? So what we've learned today in God's Word, what would be an action step? You see, as you step into this new year, create a personal spiritual growth plan that includes daily prayer, that includes regular Bible study, and it includes serving other people. Now, some of you may have sat back and said, yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Some of you have said, well, you know what? I've heard that 1,000 times, and I've tried that, and I'm really, really good for a couple of weeks. Listen, don't let this play out. Remember, you have to purpose to do this. If you want to be a spiritual giant, you have to purpose to do this. I will never forget what a great speaker back when I was a youth pastor many decades ago said one time about a fella. And yeah, you know, he said there was a guy in there and he was in the gym and he was working out. And there was just this really, really big bodybuilder that was around him. And he walked up to him and he said, man, he said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, you're pretty impressive with your physique and build. And you've put a lot of time and effort and energy, you know, into this. And he said, for somebody like me that's getting ready to do some strength training, and what advice would you give for somebody along the way? And he said, I'll never forget what this guy said to me. It was so simplistic, but yet it was so in-depth. He said that bodybuilder looked at him and he said this. He said, if you're ever going to be big and strong, you're going to have to pick up something heavy. Well, you know what? The same holds true with our spiritual life. The same holds true in our spiritual walk. If you are ever going to grow spiritually and you're going to get spiritually stronger, you're going to have to pick up something heavy. That means there's going to be some straining and some groaning along the way. But don't listen. Don't lose out on that opportunity. Don't lose out on the things that are coming along. You know, don't tucker out. You know, like I said, most New Year's resolutions that are made on January the 1st usually are done with by the end of January, and even those that hang on usually make it through about mid-February, according to statistics. Don't be a statistic. As you step into this new year, create a personal spiritual growth plan. Now, in that plan, it needs to include daily prayer, focused prayer time. I'm not just talking about driving down the road praying, although that's good. I'm not taking away from that. That's one element of what the Lord said when he said pray without ceasing. But I'm saying make an appointment with God every day to go into that prayer closet, to shut that door behind you, to say, I am earmarking this particular amount of time to spend with God in prayer. Now, some of you are sitting back going, well, I just don't have time. Yes, you do. Because you know what? I will guarantee you that you make time to watch television, you make time to watch the news or a show or a sporting event or whatever. Make sure that you make time for God, that you elevate Him to a higher position than your relaxing projects of television or whatever else the case may be. All right. So you make sure that you're going to spend some daily time with Him in prayer. Make sure that you are regularly reading your Bible. You know, one of the interesting things is I give you stuff every week. If you tune in every week, I will tell you we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture for the following week. And at least start with that. If you don't have something, start with that passage that I give you and then join us again the following week for the Wednesday Bible study where we will go over that. That's discipleship, folks. That's what it's all about. But listen, if you want a daily Bible reading plan, I want to suggest to you the one-year Bible. You know, it actually has an Old Testament reading, a New Testament reading, a psalm and a proverb every day, and you don't have to jump around for it. It's laid out. January 1st, here's your New Testament, or your Old Testament, your New Testament, your psalm and your proverb, all right there together. Now, I do also want to encourage you, make yourself a part of a small group. Whether, you know, hopefully your church may have some small group discipleship. It may have, if you're a lady, maybe there's a group of ladies that meet on a weekly basis. If you're a guy, maybe there's some guys that meet. Maybe if you're a couple, there's some couples that are your age that have a time of discipleship. Maybe they meet in a house. Maybe they meet in a restaurant. I know those are some of the things that we have here at Central Baptist Church. We have men's groups. We have women's groups. We're looking to get a couples group started very, very soon. Maybe by the time of this particular broadcast, we'll have that up and going. But it's a time when you come together. That's what I love about the discipleship aspect. Every day, we ask you to read one chapter a day. That's all. One chapter. Everybody, listen, if you go to the bathroom, you have enough time to read one chapter a day. So you read and you study and you look for certain things. Look for a promise that God has given you to keep. Look for a sin that you need to confess. Look for a lesson that you can learn. There's a great discipleship material group, and it is called D-Life, which means disciple life. I will encourage you to get that as well. Get a couple of people. Then what will happen is, once a week, there's five, we call it a five-day week. You read one chapter a day for 5 days of that seven-day week. Then at your weekly meeting, there's a focal passage. There are questions that are asked. It brings about discussion. You will learn from one another as you learn from God's Word. It is one of the greatest things that I've seen. Yeah, you get those discipleship groups, man, they look forward to their time of being able to get together around the Bible. There's accountability. You know, whoever is facilitating that week will go around to each person. Hey, did you read your five chapters this week? Did you read your five chapters? Get involved in a group like that. I promise you, it will change your life. I promise you that as you purpose to do this, you will see at least these things begin to come in into regularity in your life. That's daily prayer, that's regular Bible study, and then serving others. One of the interesting parts about D-Life material is that as your discipleship group, you plan and execute some sort of a mission project at least once a quarter. That could be so many things. I know that our group, some of them, they've gone and built a handicap ramp for somebody that needed that. They helped with collections for Western North Carolina when Hurricane Helene hit up there and things were so devastating. But you learn to serve other people together. Man, what a great time that is. I want to encourage you to get plugged into that in 2025. Maybe you've never ever done that before, but this is a new year. This is your New Year's resolution, and stick with it. And I promise you that when you come to the end of this year and you look back over it, you won't look back over it with regret, okay? Make it a year of intentional growth in your walk with Christ, and always remember that in Him, you are a new creation. Yeah, I hope and pray that this brings you joy. I hope it brings you encouragement as you start off and begin this new year of 2025. And I pray that you will do it with hope. I pray that you will do it with purpose. And I pray that you will do it with passion and that you will see your life change as well as the lives of those that are around you. In just a moment, I'm going to pray to that end. I just want to share with you right now what our Bible reading for this week is going to be. As you know, coming into the Christmas and New Year season, we have been talking about parables. So I want to pick back up and we'll study a few more of the parables as we enter this new year. This year, what I want you to do is, I want you to spend some time studying Matthew's Gospel chapter 13, okay? Matthew's Gospel chapter 13. Next week, we will discuss the parable that talk about weeds among good plants, specifically from Matthew's Gospel chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and then also verses 36 through 43. So if you'll look over that stuff this week, spend a little bit of time and study there, and we will look forward to having you with us next week as we will open God's Word for the Wednesday Bible study. Let me go ahead and have a word of prayer with you as we get not only your new year started, but also prayerfully your new walk with the Lord in following Him. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful that you have allowed us another year. Lord, we pray that as we look back over 2024, we see some things maybe that we didn't exactly do the way we should that need to be straightened out as we head into 2025. Lord, help us to not allow those things from the previous year to hold us down, but Lord, through confession, through repentance, and through setting us free, Lord, I just pray that you will give us the freedom to go into this new year and to see it completely different than we ever have. Lord, help us to walk with you and to talk with you on a daily basis. But Lord, help teach us how to pray without ceasing. Lord, help us to see your compassion and your love for each and every one of us as well as those that are around us. So Lord, may 2025, the beginning of it, be a new step in a right direction for each and every one of us. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you for it as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, again, I want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. Happy New Year. I hope and pray that this new year is going to turn out so great for you that it will be one of the best years of your life as you walk with the Lord. As always, we want to invite you, if you don't have a church home, come join us as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. You can find more about us on our website that you see listed at the bottom of this broadcast. And by the way, if you come on in, 10:45 is when we start our worship services on Sunday. As I mentioned even earlier in this broadcast, we have some discipleship opportunities for men's groups, for women's groups. We have Sunday school classes, and we also have Awana for our young people. So we look forward to seeing you. God bless you as you go into this new year, and may it be the best year of your life.